Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. I think that's of the Lord. Let's go back to 1. No, I'm kidding. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we talked about cell phones this morning, and we talked about other things, but the truth is, as we look at our time in the Lord, or we look at our time in the Word, and look at your time on Facebook, look at your time on your phone, look at your time where you go, let's see, and it's almost. By the way, this is completely turned off. It's off. See that? Okay. So, but how many? If you're going to be just completely honest, all right. And by the way, you're in church. God knows. And so, how many of you, every available moment that you have that you think is free, you go, whoosh. How many do that? Wait, listen, right? Liz is like, and so TJ goes, He gets under her arm and helps her out. Don't we do that? We do what we have to do almost so that we can get to our phone. Everything we do is focused to get to our phone, to get to the computer, to get to an electronic, to get to a sport, to get to a TV show, to get to you fill in the blank. And what's happened, guys, is we have created, and by the way, did I say that this might offend some? And so just hang in there, because the Word of God is supposed to pierce our heart, to get our attention. And that's all I wanted to do today, is to get your attention. My goal today is to get you to see what is stopping you from serving the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you everyone in here is guilty of not serving the Lord. So if this doesn't apply to you, don't apply it. But if it does, just stamp your forehead guilty and fix it. Amen? And so that's the whole goal. Don't walk out of here being mad at me. Walk out of here being mad at God. Because I'm just sharing what the Lord said. Amen? Amen? Look, don't hold back, right? Because you think if you don't say amen, that gives you the right to be mad at me, but it still doesn't, amen? All right, so here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at it again. Verse 1. I beseech you, he says, listen, I am calling you out. I am calling you out. You love Jesus? I'm calling you out. You say that you're a Christian? I'm calling you out. I beseech you. I implore you. I want your attention. Listen up. This is what Paul's doing. And then he says, wait a minute, who's he talking to? Christians, brethren, I beseech you, therefore. What is the therefore, therefore? Well, we got to go back and find out what it's there for. And when you go back, what you find out is when he says, listen, first off, if you just go and look at chapter 11, chapter 10, chapter 9, chapter, oh my goodness, you got to go all the way back. And Paul's saying, listen, Christians have a problem. It started with the Jews. Go back to Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 25, when he tells the Jewish people, he says, listen, you had all the Word of God, and you didn't share it with anybody. You kept it to yourself. You weren't doing the things of God, you were doing the things of man. And therefore, this is out of control because you didn't do what God said to do. And so then he starts unfolding it from chapter 2. He starts unfolding and looking at all the damage of Christians not doing what God called them to do. All the damage that has been done of lazy Christians. All the damage that has been done of unspiritual Christians. I love when I talk to people and they go, I'm very spiritual. I don't care. You know what? You go up here to this psychic world up here, whatever it is. guess what? They're very spiritual too. The only thing is, they put a disclaimer under their stuff for entertainment purposes only. Because they know they're whacked out and they don't want to be held liable for it. And so what we have is, we have Christians who go, I'm spiritual. Did you ever read the Bible? I don't need the Bible. God speaks to me. Okay. I'm spiritual. I go to church. You ever read the Bible? I don't need to read the Bible. I go to church. Pastor tells me what it says. I'm spiritual. God speaks to me all the time. Does God tell you to do anything? No, He just loves me. You read the Bible? I don't like to read. Right? How many? You guys think I'm kidding you. I go through this conversation all the time. And I looked at one lady and I simply asked her a question. And she looked at me and I looked at her. And I didn't look away. And she kept looking at me and I go, that's not rhetorical. Like, I'm waiting on you to answer my question. And she looks at me and she goes, you have intimidating eyes. I said, well, answer the question and I'll quit looking at you. Right? And so then she looks at me and I said, I go, listen, you have to, you need to look at where you're at. Paul says, I implore you, because of everything I just said and people dying and going to hell in Israel, look where the Jews are, look where the Gentiles are. I implore you. I implore you. Paul's crying out. Paul's trying to get their attention. What is he imploring us? I implore you, Christian, and only the Christian. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not imploring you, because, listen, no offense, but the Bible says that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, and so therefore you're spiritually ignorant. That's not a slam. That's just, you don't know God, you can't know the things of God. It's a given, amen? And so he says, I implore you, Christian, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living. Living. You know what that means? That means that you have to walk your talk. And so many people, I love Jesus, and then you go out and you do the dumbest things that say you don't love Jesus. Or you like, I don't understand why my family doesn't love God and why they don't come to church. And you just want to go inside. Okay, I actually do this. Have you looked at your lifestyle? You're a hypocrite. What do you mean I'm a hypocrite? You're a hypocrite. I had somebody call me up one day and they go, Pastor, you and I are a lot alike. And I go, no. You're a hypocrite. I'm not. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, before we start, remember, you called me. Amen? Amen? And I said, I go, man, listen, I appreciate your passion. I appreciate your love for Jesus. I appreciate you telling people all about Jesus. But you're over here and you're telling them how wrong they are and how wrong their lifestyle is. Meanwhile, you're living the same lifestyle they are. And they know it. I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. First off, we see that it is living. We're walking it. It is alive. Then the next word I want you to see is sacrifice. Most Christians, and I use this term lightly, Christians, love God until there's a need for sacrifice. They love God until there's a requirement of their time, their effort, or their finances. Love God until that relationship gets in the way of the love of self. I love God, but I got more important things to do. But God knows my heart. He knows I love Him. Can I say that's the biggest pile of dung ever? I'm serious. Guys, look what Paul says here. And I'm not trying to slam anybody. Listen, I just want you to look at it. This whole thing this morning is for you to look at your life. It's for you to quit being religious and start working on the relationship. It's for you to quit kidding yourself that you are doing everything God asked you to do when in reality you're doing nothing. It is to quit pretending that I love God when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Listen, I'm telling you, love is action. That if there's no action in your footsteps, don't tell me you love God. If you're not willing to step out and sacrifice something, a little of something, don't tell me you love God. If you put yourself ahead of Jesus every time, don't tell me you love God. Because the truth is, God is telling you exactly what I'm saying. But we go, oh, Jesus loves me. And he's all about love, and he's not going to condemn anybody. Or we're a Christian that actually knows the word and knows the Bible, and we do this. Well, I'm forgiven. And so, you know what? Since I already know that I'm forgiven, I already know I got a pass into heaven. God's not going to take away my salvation, so I'll just live my life for me. And we take that attitude, and we just live our life for us. With this disclaimer, having lived in the South 17 years, one of the phrases that the Southerners use, and by the way, I love the South and I love Southerners. I'm not slamming on anybody. I'm just using this as my example. They say, and if you ever hear this term, hold on. Bless their heart. That bless their heart is the beginning of gossip. But they use bless their heart as their intro to the gossip to make it sound holy and righteous and not like gossip, like it's really a prayer. Well, bless their heart. Do you know? And then they roll the whole thing out, the picture of what's going on at the end of it. They go, oh, bless their heart. That's what it is when we say, well, God knows my heart. Well, Jesus loves me. It's almost like that bless your heart is the passage to gossiping. God knows my heart is our passage to, I don't have to worry about the relationship. I can do what I want because God loves me. And what we find in this passage, guys, is Paul is saying, listen, I beseech you. I implore you. I'm calling you out, Christian. That's what Paul's saying. And then he says, brethren, obviously, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. I'm going to tell you, when we look at the mercies of God, that is our inspiration to do what we do. By the mercies of God. That should inspire you. Because what are the mercies of God? Let me tell you what the mercies of God is. For God so loved you, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The mercies of God. He is long-suffering. We're sinful. Oh, this is something that man doesn't like to hear. The truth is, we're just vile in God's eyes. When we're unrighteous and when we're sinful. And the mercies of God is I forgive you. And this is how I forgive you. It's through my son's death and his shed blood. That's how I forgive you. The mercies of God. You deserve death and hell, but my mercy is Jesus and I'm going to give you life. You see the mercies of God? And so when God says, I sent my son to die for you, and because of his death, you can live. And he paid the price that you owe, and I owe, don't let me exclude myself, please, that all of us owe. The price is that we owe death, or we should die, and we deserve death and hell. And the mercies of God is, I love you so much, I'm giving you a way out of that. And my son's going to pay the price. If somebody on earth saved our life, man, we would treat them like royalty. We'd be so appreciative. Right? Right? You got to help me out here, right? We would be so appreciative. Oh, they gave their life. Or, oh, look what they did. They put themselves in harm's way and they saved me and they stopped this from happening and they stopped that, whatever it is. Why don't we roll that red carpet out for Jesus? For the mercies of God. Why don't we roll that out saying, oh, Jesus, thank you. And I'm going to tell you why I believe personally we don't roll out the red carpet for Jesus. We haven't stopped to take the time to truly understand the mercies of God. We haven't stopped to take the time to truly understand what He did for you and I. We haven't stopped to take the time to really validate Jesus Christ's death and go, man, that was true and this is what He did and oh my goodness, what a horrific price to pay for me. We've not stopped to take the time to truly look at what was given for you and I. And so therefore we don't appreciate it. How many times somebody has come up and said, wow, do you know that so-and-so did this and this and this and it cost them everything they had? And you're like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. And then all of a sudden you have a new respect for the person. Right? Anybody, you ever been there? I think we need to do that with Jesus. I think we need to just stop for a moment and quit saying, God loves me, and saying, God, how can I love you back? Instead of going, oh, Jesus died for me and I'm so appreciative. Jesus, how can I show you my appreciation? I hit the lottery when I got saved. Let me share in the riches of salvation with somebody else. Why is it that our relationship with Jesus, and everybody's guilty of this at some point in some time, but our relationship with Jesus always seems to be take, 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 and Jesus understands. Am I the only one that does that on the occasion? Right? And so Paul here is going, wow, you know, I pre-warned you guys about this, so I'm trying to make it, like, I'm trying, there's just nothing joyful about this one. Sorry. Okay, here we go. He says that you present your bodies a living, that means we walk it out, sacrifice, that means it actually cost us something. Who are we to say no to God? I mean, let's be real. Who are we when God says, I want you to do, I'll share a little something with you, personal, obviously. You guys know I'm very transparent. And so, after about day 18 of gray in New York, I started getting into my complaining mode. Anybody else make me feel better? And then I get text, hey, sunshine down here every day, beautiful. And I'm like, hey, I hope you, never mind. And so, I'm going through all this and I'm like, and then another person moved south, like Milton moved to Tennessee. And I'll be honest with you, on the inside a little bit, I was like, man, where the sun's always shining, people seem to be going. And then I went, why don't I have that right? I want to go where the sun's shining, amen? Is that permission? No, I'm kidding. And so I started going into this, woe is me, right? God, why does everybody else have all the rights to up and leave and move and do whatever they want? And Lord, I'm stuck here. And then God said, John, remember last week? This isn't about you. This isn't about you. You have a job to do. I called you to that job. And you can take great joy in what I've called you to do, or you can constantly complain and whine about it. And I said, well, Lord, right now I'm complaining and whining, and I'm just quite content. Just be honest. And God says, hey, you have every right to be miserable if you'd like. But when you realize my mercies toward you, and you start taking pleasure in that, what I've given you, your attitude will change. And so this morning, I come in and I was talking to Howie, who just came back from Florida, and I'm like, dude, don't tell me how the sun shines there every day, because I don't want to hear it. And he said this. He said, you know, man, they're having a serious drought problem. And so even though they have sun every day, now they have some major issues. I've cut my grass twice in a week. What issues do I have? I started thinking about that. Isn't it funny how God uses these things? And all of a sudden I started seeing, again, because guys, every now and then I just kind of get twisted up. Anybody else say you're with me? Amen. I'm glad I'm not alone. And so with this, with the sermon, and then with me going this whole week, and I started, you know, I kind of complained, right? And God just reminded me, listen, this isn't about you. And my mercies are good, even when your attitude is horrible. And I've called you to be a living sacrifice. And then look what he says here, which really can frustrate you if you don't want to get out of that whiny mode. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, holy, acceptable to God. So that holy tells us that we should have a right attitude, a right desire, a correct direction. It's holy. As God is holy, right? And then he says, acceptable to God. Well, what's acceptable to God? Holy, righteous, not whining and complaining. Jeremiah, what is he known as? The weeping prophet. He was a crybaby. I don't want to go down in history as a crybaby. Just saying. Acceptable to God. And then he says this. And this was the clincher. This was the dagger that I just want to share with you today. I'm figuring if I'm going to get poked, I want you to get poked. Look what he says. Which is your reasonable service. Now let's look at this for a minute. Reasonable literally means minimum. Oh my goodness. That's a clincher. Turn it a little bit more, Jesus. Now let's look at this passage. I implore you, brother and sister, Christian, by the mercies of God, remember what God has done for you. Remember the forgiveness that has been extended. Remember the life that has been extended. Remember the grace that has been extended. Remember the gift that has been extended. Remember that peace that passes all understanding that's been extended. Remember the strength that's been extended. Remember the rock that has been extended. Remember all these things that has been extended. That's the mercies of God, right? Because when we get whiny, we have a tendency to forget. Or maybe just me. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, that you walk the walk of your talk. And if your talk is Jesus, then they better look at you and see some reflection of Jesus. Something of Jesus. It needs to be living, not quiet. People say, oh, I can't talk about Jesus. I gotta, what? Living. That means you take it on the road type thing, you know? You make it loud and proud, amen? Living. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you go. If you love Jesus, if you truly love Jesus, it's going to cost you something. Listen. You can't live your life the way you want to live your life and say that you love Jesus. You can't come over here and enjoy all the pleasures, the sinful pleasures of the flesh, and then come over here and tell me you love Jesus. Because if there is no sacrifice in your life to show the glory of God, then you're not living a life for God. People say, well, I have the right to do what I want. Yes, you do. But no, you don't. You have the permission or the ability to make a decision to do what you want. You have that. But you have been purchased. And therefore you are not your own. And so you have the ability to be disobedient, but you do not have the right to go against your owner. And so when you say, I have the right to do what I want and God loves me just the way I am, no, 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 no. If we look at this, the minimum is that you live a holy, righteous life. Does that mean you're never going to sin again? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you live a holy, righteous life. That when you say, I love Jesus, then this over here shows it. But if you say, I love Jesus, and this over here doesn't look anything like it, shh. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't damn the Christian that is trying to live it, and then all of a sudden the world puts all the Christians in this realm of hypocrites, right? I don't want to go to that church. There's nothing but hypocrites in there. Well, I didn't do anything. I don't even know you. And so all of a sudden I'm associated, if you're living a poor life, I'm associated with your poor life. And then not just me, but now the whole church is associated with your poor life. Amen, right? I'm going to tell you guys, listen, we are our brother's keeper. This is reasonable. This is minimum. And so if you're visiting for the first time today, I would love to tell you I preach different in another week, but the truth is it's just the Word of God. We talk about it. Amen. So hang in there. It'll get better next week. I beseech you, therefore, because of look at all the people that got lost, all the people that got hurt, look at all this that's went on. I beseech you, because of all that, that listen, you start understanding what God did for you, and now you start living it out. And you understand you are not your own, so there's going to be a sacrifice. Listen, your time is not yours. Your possessions are not yours. Your money is not yours. Your job is not yours. All this stuff that we say is mine, 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 mine. All that came because of the mercies of God. And if you're going to say, I'm a Christian, what does a Christian look like? What does that life look like? And then you need to start living it out. So many of us guys, and I know I'm harping on this and I'm hammering it away, and it's because, hey, I want you to grab this. I want you to understand that you can't call yourself a Christian and then live like Satan. You can't do that. You can't say, I love Jesus, and then be self-satisfaction and everything you do is all about you. You can't, listen, they don't equate. They just don't equate. And so when we talk about loving God, and listen, it's a sacrifice. Man, for some of you, if you spend 10 minutes with God a week, you feel like you sacrificed. I wonder how much time some of you spend in prayer. I don't want to know. It's a rhetorical question. But I really wonder. I wonder how many of you actually open your Bible and read it because you want to spend time with Jesus, or you want to hear something from your God. I wonder how many of you claim spirituality and so you don't need to do any of that. God speaks to me personally because we're buddies. I wonder how many say, man, I love my friends so much, or I love my family so much, that I have to share Jesus. because this isn't about me. It's, and you know what the sacrifice of that is? Them not talking to me for a little while. Sometimes that could be a blessing. Look at both sides of that coin. Look here in 2. And then he says this. Do not be conformed to this world. Just because the law says it's legal does not mean it's right. Just because somebody in an office in a big building downtown says, I believe in this lifestyle, doesn't mean it's right. Just because you have the right legally on earth to act a certain way does not mean God is pleased, because I'm going to tell you, he's not. Don't be conformed to this world, but look here, look what it says. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we look at verse 1, and he lays this out, and he says, listen, it's going to be a sacrifice, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. This is what I expect, this is what it should look like, and you should appreciate it, not because you feel obligated, but because you appreciate the mercies of God. You understand that the price that God gave for you and I, and you are willing to say thank you by living your life as an example. That's what 1 says. And then in 2, he tells us how to do it. Listen, don't be conformed to the world. Just because they're doing it doesn't mean you need to be doing it. And just because the law says it's right doesn't mean it is right. And just because it's legal to do doesn't mean it's godly to do. And so we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how are we to renew our minds? Turn the cell phones off. Turn the electronics off. Turn the TV off. And open a book. The Bible. You say, well, I got my Bible on my electronic. Do you realize that with the white screen on the back and the electronics, that you literally retain a very small amount of what you read on an electronic, but if you read it on paper, it sticks, it'll stick in your brain. I can't remember the percentage, they've left me right now, so I don't want to throw it out there and then be a liar, but it's literally like 10 times higher for you to retain it if you read it on paper than if you read it on electronic. I actually think it's 11 times, but I'm not going to swear to that. Put your electronics away. You have children? Take it away. Take it away from them. They'll hate you for a moment. But they'll love you again as soon as you threaten to not pay the bill. They'll love you all over. Guys, we gotta start taking some stuff back here. First off, we have to take back this attack on us, this spiritual attack on us to draw us away from God. We gotta take it. It's time to take it back. I was watching a movie last night called The Magnificent Seven. Anybody seen the movie Magnificent Seven? And so what happens in the movie is this man comes in and he steamrolls. He just brings in all these men and he buys the law. He's paying off the law and he takes over the whole city at the cost of people's homes and their lives. And one guy says, I'm not going to sell you the land. And of course, it's a movie. He pulls the gun out and boom, right on the spot in front of his wife and the whole town. He goes, anybody else don't want to give me their land? And then they all conformed. And here's what happens in the movie. They lose their life. Not the heartbeat, but the heart to live. The first place in the town that was attacked. Can anybody guess? The church. They burnt. The first thing they did was catch the church on fire. That was the first thing they did. And you know, I thought about that as I was watching. I thought, you know what? That's what Satan does. The first thing he does is he attacks the church. And you and I are the church. And if he can take away our life, if he can take away our joy, if he can take away our living, he wins. And that's what was happening. And what I'm telling you is, if you are going to transform or to renew your mind, listen, you're going to have to shut some of this stuff down. Everything on YouTube is not worth watching. Look, some of it's funny, some of it's entertaining. I'm not going to deny that. But when we are spending hours and hours and hours on our electronics and minutes in the Word of God, we got a problem. And so don't expect your mind to be renewed. Don't expect your love for the Lord to be renewed and to be strengthened and to grow if you're not putting anything of God in you. And don't expect to truly understand who God is and what He wants from us and what He desires from us and how He hates sin and how He hates when you get involved in sin. Don't expect to understand all that if you don't understand who God is. And don't expect to understand who God is if you're not putting anything new in your mind besides whatever you find on the internet. You need to quit living for the moment to get on your phone and live for the moment to get on your knees. Man, if we're going to win this world back, guys, we got to get serious about it. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care. I care that you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that you understand the mercies of God and you thank the Father in heaven for giving that life and those promises to us. That's what I care about. You can be as spiritual as you want. Woohoo! That didn't sound too manly, did it? Okay, look here. So he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will of God? There's a question, right? What is the will of God for my life? We know right off the bat, the will of God is for you to renew your mind in Him. That's a given. How do we do that? We pray. We read. We seek God's face. We quit looking to the internet for answers and start looking to the Lord for answers. What is that acceptable and perfect will of God? Well, we find it in one, right? In verse 1, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's the will of God. That you actually live out what you say. I was talking to a young lady this morning. I love how God just gives me fresh stuff. Amen. Hasn't even had time for the bananas to ripen. And so they said, you might know who it is after I'm done here, but it'll be okay because she'll still love me. And she said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what I gave away. I gave away my piano, my love. I couldn't believe I just gave it away. But God told me to do it, and I did it. And oh, I'm like, Lord, what do you want? And He says, I want first place in your life. I don't want keyboards and wood and pedals to be first in my in your life. I want me to be first in your life. See, it's that sacrifice. All too often, guys, we put things that are going to burn up ahead of the Lord. We get so caught up in us being selfish, and we put everything before the Lord. But don't worry, God knows my heart. He knows I love Him. Right? That's that. Guys, we are to serve God. But until you stop, go to 2, please. Until you stop conforming to the world. I have Christians that argue with me to support abortion and deny the Word of God. Help me? I have Christians who quit talking to me because I say, and they'll ask me, this is the killer, this is the crux that just absolutely stabs me in the heart every time. Pastor, can I talk to you? Absolutely. I have a question. Anything, feel free. Which, by the way, guys, I will talk to you any question. Nothing is off the table. Nothing is off of the table. I will discuss anything, every topic with you. someone said that my son is going to hell because he's a homosexual. And I said, well, that's not why he's going to hell. So I get in this conversation about Jesus being your savior and good works don't get you there and so on and so forth. And I said, do you believe that? Well, I know it's in the Bible, but I don't believe that part. And I said, well, you know, the Bible talks about homosexuality and in Rome, I know, but I don't believe that. And I said, well, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus. I believe Jesus. The Bible talks about God the Father. I believe God the Father. I go, where else did you learn about Jesus and God the Father? I said, where did you learn about Jesus and God the Father? In the Bible. And you believe that? Oh, yeah. And I said, that's because it's palatable. She goes, what do you mean? I said, it tastes good. You can stomach that. You can stomach Jesus dying for you. You can stomach God loving you. But you can't stomach God saying no. All of a sudden, that's not palatable. Therefore, it's not true. And we go into this self-denial. We conform to the world. And we go out and we live that lifestyle. And then we argue against God. Why? Well, because you're putting more world in your head than you are anything else. Talk to another parent. Invited them to church. And I said, bring your kids, man. We got it. And they go, well, I go, do your kids go to church? What do they believe? Oh, well, we're going to let them figure it out on their own. Do you know how heartbreaking that is? We're going to let them figure it out on their own. Well, what if they go the wrong way? Well, you know, it's a live and learn world. Do you really love your children? Tell them the truth, even if it hurts. Do you love your family? Tell them the truth, even if it hurts. Don't be conformed to the world, but transform by the renewing of your mind, getting into the Word of God, understanding what God wants, understanding what God hates, and then staying away from it. And that's what Paul is begging us to do. And he says that you may prove, you may show, you may understand. Because remember, you're living this out. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? And then next week, as the weeks go on, we're going to get into chapter 12 and 13 and 14, because it starts laying out the will of God. And so if you want to understand what the will of God is, because listen, there's a general will of God, and there's a specific will of God. Let me give you an example. The general will of God is that none should perish, but all should be saved. They should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, believe on Him as their Savior, and have life everlasting. That's the will of God. And then once you're saved, the will of God for the Christian, for the brethren, if you will, is that they be obedient and that they live their life as a sacrifice, a holy, acceptable sacrifice, which is your minimum service. That's the will of God. That's general for everyone. That you be obedient. That you do what God asked you to do. That's general. Now, specific will of God. John, you're going to go to New York and you're going to start a church. Couldn't escape it. That is specific will of God for my life. Not everybody's going to get that specific will or that specific call. But everybody has a general call. This is what we're looking at. General call. The will of God. We'll talk about that later as we go through these chapters. The will of God and what that looks like for everyone as a whole. And then as you build that relationship with Jesus, as you build that relationship with the Father, as you spend time renewing your mind and getting away from the world and focusing on God, He will give you a specific will for your life. You know why most people don't know the will of God today? They don't spend any time with Him. They're so busy running. How many of you as a teenager, man, as soon as you were able to run, you ran. And mom and dad would tell you something, but you never heard it because you were so busy focused on running your direction that you didn't care what mom and dad had to say. How many have been there? Amen, right? Yeah, some of you are like, me. That's what we are with God. That's what happens. My father-in-law, he had his own business. This was years ago. I was 20 years old at the time, and I just moved from Ohio to North Carolina, and I started working for him, and we were doing underground tank work, and after about 6 months, he hired another guy on, and this guy's name was Jeffrey. And so Jeffrey, man, I'm going to tell you, he was a great guy, hard worker. I mean, to find anybody that worked harder than him, you just couldn't do. This guy, man, he was in, and it didn't matter what you asked him to do, he would do it. He was in. He was sold out. And he was the type of guy that Bud, which is my wife's dad, would say, Jeff, I, and then as soon as he said, Jeff, I need, Jeff was, he didn't even get out what he needed. And Jeff was running. And so Bud would have to go, a shovel! Right? Because Jeffrey was gone, man. He was just gone. And guys, I think that's us. I think that's us. We are such a hurry to run that we don't listen. We're such a hurry to do what we want to do that we don't hear. And if we're going to prove what is good and we're going to live for God, we got to stop. We got to renew our mind. We got to start choosing what we put in. And some of you guys, just to be quite honest with you, man, you put nothing but trash in. Trash. Just straight up trash. You expect God to do something? It's not going to happen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The truth is, you're going to make a decision that you're either going to live what God has told you to live, or you're going to live your life pretending you're a Christian. That's harsh, but it's a reality. And so my prayer is that each and every one of you just stop for a minute. Just stop. And say, okay, Lord, show me who I am. And then give me the strength to be who you want me to be. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to take this. Yes, I used a cushion for an impact. I am not stupid. But that's what we need to do. We need to get rid of all the junk that's getting in the way. We just need to get rid of it, guys. You got problems in your life? Look and see why. Are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for God? Are you doing it your way, or are you doing it God's way? Start putting this in. Put it under your pillow. Sleep on it. Maybe it'll transfer. We need to do whatever it takes. You wonder why your children are off the chart? Man, go back and look at the history of what they're looking at on their computer or their phone. I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to end. When one of my daughters, they were 4 and 5. We were in Missouri at the time. And she had started becoming incredibly disrespectful. Maybe 5 or 6, somewhere around there, 4 or 5, I don't know. But she had started becoming incredibly disrespectful. And I went, this is uncharacteristic of my child. This isn't, you know, I mean, all parents are deceived thinking that nobody's greater than their child, amen? And I'm going, but this was real. And I'm going, who is this kid? So I told my wife, I said, you know what? I am going to sit down and watch TV with her. I'm going to let her pick the shows that she always picks and let her just watch TV. I'm going to sit there and watch TV with her. And so I did. I sat down and I joined right in. And then here's what I found out. All the TV shows for children, there were no parents involved. It was just kids. And so anytime a parent got in the way, they were actually in the way. Because in a kid's mind, they were believing these TV shows that who's the parent? And by the way, every TV show that didn't have the parent, every now and then the parent would come into the show, the kid ruled the parent. And I watched this, and this was a theme that was throughout all these kids' shows. And they were kids' shows, but they had an underlying theme. They had a motive. They had an agenda. And I went, oh my goodness. My child is being brainwashed into thinking the parent is the problem. So guess what I did? I told my child, both of them, and I told my wife, no more of those TV shows. None. Turn them off. No exception. And within about a month and a half, I had my daughter back. It was the renewing of the mind. We were putting into them rather than the TV putting into them. It was our agenda rather than their agenda. And within about 6 weeks, my daughter was respectful, loving again. She was a new child. I wonder if we would be that way if we turned things off and focused on God. Because the truth is, nobody in here is any different than my daughter, including myself. The renewing of our mind. What are you putting in? Because I promise what you're putting in will come out. For out of the heart, man speaks. His actions come from his heart. His words come from his heart. So when somebody says something, you go, well, they didn't mean it. Oh, yeah, they did. That's just what was deep down in, and they finally hit that wall, and it spewed out. Guys, the renewing of our mind is crucial and critical to us being a living sacrifice. If you don't do this, don't worry about verse 1. Because it's not going to happen. Let us pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I ask your hand to be on us on this time, Lord. This moment where we stop and we truly just look at ourselves. And Father, I ask right now, Lord, that for each and every person in this room, you would show us who we really are. Lord, give us that look, that glimpse just for a moment. Lord, show us what gets in the way. Lord, remind us of what is that we have focused on, that we have chosen to take us away from you. And so, Lord, right now, I just want everybody to take a moment and ask the question. What is it in my life, Lord, that has hindered me from being a living sacrifice? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, if we are going to be what God has called us to be, we have to do what God has called us to do. If your life is a wreck, if your anxiety is off the chart, that's not of God. That is of Satan. And he is using the things of the world to confound the mind. And you need to renew your mind and get rid of the world and focus on God. There's no other answer. I mean, you can look high and low, but you're not going to find any other answer. If you're here today and you say, you know, I'm religious. What I want to do is challenge you to answer this question. When I die, am I going to heaven? If you are religious, you're not going to heaven. It is only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not what I say as a pastor or what we as a church say. It is what the Bible says, which is why I believe it. And so as you sit here this morning, looking at your life, and I asked you, if you die, are you going to heaven? And you say, yes. Now here's my next question. Why? Why are you going to heaven? And if you say, well, it's because I'm a good person, well, the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. If you say, well, I'm religious, well, religion doesn't get us to heaven. Only a personal relationship through Jesus Christ gets us to heaven. Well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible, the devil believes in God. It is not until you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I believe He died on the cross for my sin. I believe He conquered death and hell. I believe He is at the right hand of the Father. It is not until you say that and believe it in your heart that you are going to heaven. And so this morning, if it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, I want you to pray this prayer quietly in your heart. This is between you and God. Understand this, the words do not save you. It is the fact that you believe it in your heart that saves you. The words, the prayer is just a roadmap to kind of walk you through it so you have a time stamp where you can say, this was the day that I called out to Jesus as my Savior. And so if it's your desire to call out, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have made poor decisions. I have been selfish. I have been sinful. I have been defiant. If toward nobody else, toward you. And Father in heaven, I ask that you forgive me of those sins. That you wash me white as snow. That through the shed blood of Jesus, I can come before you pure and whole, spotless as the Lamb of Jesus because of His blood. No other reason. Father, today I give you my life.